Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic from sex style to gossip.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. Well, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And just because you're not a mother doesn't mean that you haven't mothered someone along the way. So happy Mother's Day to you. Wow, it's like already May. We were talking the other day that it was like 6 more months until next year. But anyway, stay tuned tonight. My mom is going to be here, Mama G. And then also Nikki Haskell and Hunter Cross are joining us. And then Miss Marks, the book, Facelifts, Money, and Prince Charming, Break Baby Boomer Myths, and Live Your Best Life. We're also going to talk about mothers tonight on Max and Friends, and also forgiving your mother on Mother's Day. Is that a topic in your life? We've got hot topics coming up, and we've got my mama, Mama G, coming up right now. Hi, Mama G, how you doing?
Hi, sweetheart, how are you?
Happy Mother's Day. I'm exhausted. I'm tired.
We should be. We've been celebrating Mother's Day for 2 days. Do you realize that?
I know, right? Well, I'm lucky to be able to see you for Mother's Day, because the hot topic today was everybody's posting about their mothers, but they don't get to see their mom. And I get to see you all the time, so that makes me very happy. How was your Mother's Day?
Too. My Mother's Day? Well, it started yesterday with that wonderful foot massage. Hello.
Hello.
that's a private joke.
That is.
But anyway, we had a wonderful time, and you're a wonderful son, and I love you dearly.
I love you, too. And Mother's Day, this is 8 years now that we're doing Mother's Day on Max and Friends, and this is the 8th time you're on, but you've been on before, other than Mother's Day. So thank you for being part of my Mother's Day show. And just before I let you go, what is it that you want to tell mothers out there? Give them some advice that you picked up along the way from your beautiful mother or from yourself that, like, this is who I am and this is what I believe. So what do you inspire those listening to mothers to be or mothers that are now?
Well, I think the most important thing is to accept your children for who they are and love them dearly and respect them and have a wonderful life with your children. That's what it's all about. And, you know, and it's nice to tell them what to do, but sometimes you have to zip your mouth and let them do what they have to do in their life. That is my motto.
Your motto. Well, it's a good one to have, and that's why you've got such wonderful children.
I do. I do have wonderful children. I really, really do, and I'm happy with my wonderful, beautiful daughter, Nikki, and Lily, and her fiancé, Vincent, and you, of course, my darling. I love you dearly, and I love you too. I love everybody, but I wish all the mothers a happy, happy Mother's Day, and I hope you enjoyed the day, but every day is Mother's Day.
You know, we're going to be talking later in the show, Mom, to an amazing author, Joni Marks, and tonight we're going to be talking about forgiving your mother on Mother's Day. Is there anything that you wanted to, like, forgive your mother or maybe ask for forgiveness of?
Actually, my mom was an exceptional woman, and I can't say that I just adored her, and I still love her dearly, and I admire her, and I respect her, and I just think that every day that goes by, I realize what a wonderful mother I had, and the two of us had a wonderful rapport together. Actually, I never said a four-letter word to my mother, nor she to me. So I think in all the years that we lived together, never a discussion. We always loved one another. And what can I tell you? I hope she forgives me for not being there when she passed on. But
But you can't tell that time. So you need to forgive yourself for that one, Mom. But you and I will have a talk about that after the show, because that's nothing she can forgive you on. That's something that's internal with you. It just, life happens, and we're not going to be there when people die. So you need to get over that, my love. But we will talk after the show about that. But
well, we'll talk about it. Absolutely. But anyway, thank you for a wonderful Mother's Day. 2 days, Max. Thank you so much.
And then Tuesday, we'll go to the movie and see Mother's Day. So that will be 3 days. I see her every day, 10 times a day. But anyway, love you, Mom. We got to go on with the show because
love
Nikki
you too.
Has
well, have a great.
Us.
Oh, Nikki's on. Oh, wonderful.
Yep.
Terrific. Give her my love. Okay. Have a happy day. Happy evening. And I will see you tomorrow, my darling. Happy Mother's Day to all.
Love
bye.
You, Mama G. Bye, Mama G.
Love you.
But you see, that
bye-bye.
Was a very interesting thing that my mom said. I hope that my mother forgives me about when she died. Like, no, girl, that's life. So, and I know a lot of people go through that struggle. Like, I wasn't there for someone when they died. But that's okay, because we never know when our time is going to be up. So just putting that out there. But I want to play a song for my mom right now. And when we're back, Nikki Haskell and Hunter Cross are going to be with me and some Hot Topics. Let's play this song now that I dedicate to my mother, one of her favorite songs, Moon River on Max and Friends.
Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style. Someday you dream maker, you heartbreaker, wherever you're going I'm going your way. To drifters off to see the world, there's such a lot of world to see. We're after that same huckleberry friend. Moon River and me.
Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was the song Moon River. I dedicated to my mom, who was just on Mama Gina. But tonight, we're going to have a fun show because we've got my girl, Nikki Haskell, in the house. We've got Hunter Cross joining us. We have Joni Marks coming on later. The book that Joni has, Facelifts, Money, and Prince Charming. And, of course, Forgiving Your Mother on Mother's Day. But right now, Nikki Haskell. Welcome back to Max and Friends, Nikki.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Well, congratulations to you on your show being on Amazon Prime. That we got to talk about right away.
Isn't that the best? I am so excited.
Tell everyone what's going on with your show.
Well, you know, in the 80s, I did a television show called The Nikki Haskell Show. It was a groundbreaking show that I shot from all over the world, including Studio 54, and I did the first interviews with Donald Trump.
And that was exciting back in the day.
It was, and you know, Donald and I have been friends since the 70s. I've done three documentaries on him. I'm really sort of the foremost authority on Donald Trump. But the exciting thing about it is my producer, David DeVona, we're doing a new show called The Flashback to the Future, where we re-interview the same people that I interviewed then. And David said, you know, oh my God, I've never seen anything like these shows, because I had to transfer all these shows from the 80s. I had 300 half hours. And he said, oh, this is so exciting. Why don't we put these up on Amazon Prime? So it went up last week, and on May 1st. I'm so excited. So there's 20 shows that are up now, and we're going to put up over 200 of them, and they've got all the Studio 54 footage. So if you have Amazon Prime, you just go in and put in the Nikki Haskell Show, and there it is.
And there it is. Well, I'm so happy for you for that, Nikki, because I know that that's been something in the works that you've been working on. You're a conscious creator, because everything that you consciously create manifests. So congratulations on that.
But the interesting thing is, you know, when I did the shows over 30 years ago, I always knew that they would live forever, but you didn't. But then you never knew how. You know what I'm saying? There was
Absolutely. No
Plan B. It was
there was no Amazon Prime.
There was no nothing. You know, yeah. The cable was like an illegitimate child. I used to say to people, "I have a cable show." They go, "Oh, cable." So
right.
You know that was that in itself was difficult to overcome and get celebrities to come on my show.
But you know that you could never. That's kind of like with the show here, because, you know, when we started off with just internet radio, everyone's like, oh, internet radio. Now we're not only internet radio, we're on online, we're on the apps, the LA Talk Radio app. We're like on devices and cars. So like it's just grown into this amazing multimedia thing. But Nikki, will you do some hot topics with us tonight?
Sure.
All right. Hit it. Hot topics. Hunter Cross is going to be with us.
Hey, how you doing?
When Nikki had. Friends, we got some hot topics now. Sorry for the little glitch, but Mercury's in retrograde and it's just messing with the boards tonight. But hey, Hunter Cross, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Max?
Say hi to Nikki.
Hi, it's Nikki. How are
you,
sweetheart?
I'm fantastic.
Supposed
Nikki,
to get
how
together.
Are you doing?
To get together, great.
Absolutely, it's been a long time.
All right, so tonight, I know that we first want to talk about Hunter. We were talking earlier. We got some hot topics, Nikki. So, Hunter, we were listening to and heard the rumor that Caitlyn Jenner might be posing nude.
I heard that, too, on Sports Illustrated.
I can't wait.
What do you think?
What's next? I think that's too much information.
Do you? What do you think about it, Hunter?
You
know what?
I think but, you know, it's consistent with the rest of the...
But you want to know something? Listen, we live in a world where you can do whatever you want. And if it makes him happy... Listen, I've been friendly with Caitlyn since the 80s. And when he did Can't Stop the Music, I knew he was going for a sex change then. And Chris stopped him in the, just as he had all the hair taken off of his face, had his nose done, even had breast implants.
And
so
there you go.
I don't care what he does, really,
to
tell you the truth, but I don't know why he's on a magazine cover. That's all. I just don't get it.
You know,
I don't get why he's so fascinating.
I agree with that. You know, I mean, I think that. So listen, he's part of the Kardashian, you know, phenomenon, and everybody wants a piece of the act. And
I get it. Listen. Yeah.
Well, you know what? What I want to get. Yeah, I mean, listen, the thing is we can go back and forth with this conversation because obviously, you know, it's a hot topic and people don't know really, I think, how to feel yet until it happens, if it's going to happen. But speaking of things happening...
There's another little problem because, you know, basically he has not gone through with his sex change.
But how do we know that's a little problem? It could be a big problem.
It could be a problem one way or another.
I just don't understand what the point of it is. Why do they want to take this? Let's call Caitlyn Jenner a woman. Why would any woman that still has a penis want to pose naked on the cover of a magazine, a sports magazine? To me, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, maybe it's all about facelifts, money, and Prince Charming. Who knows?
Well, yeah, that's you never what it's
know.
All about.
Right?
It's about the march
for
the mountains.
I'm not surprised at him. I'm surprised at Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Well, they're just trying to cash in because no one's buying paper magazines.
Well,
and the truth of the matter is that the show is not doing well.
And he's got to get promotion. Promotion.
A girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
Ain't that the truth?
And maybe to sell magazines. That's
you know,
what it's about.
I got to jump in because we don't have much time, but we've got to focus now on surprising things that happen. Nikki, you were not surprised at this at all. You called this, I remember from the beginning, when Donald Trump was running, that he would be the GOP. What do you have to say about it, Nikki Haskell?
Well, I'm thrilled about it, and I actually came out to Los Angeles so that I could help the fundraising or the doing all, whatever I can do to help Donald facilitate, you know, now he's going to, you know, him winning the primary and moving forward towards the White House. I think it's very exciting. I'm in contact with, I haven't seen Donald or spoken to Donald, but I'm in contact with Ivanka. I spoke with her today. And I'm going to do whatever I can. I think it's important for the women's movement because Donald's getting a bad rap. Donald happens to be really a great guy and a terrific man and very positive when it comes to women. He's a tough guy. You know, he's a very interesting character. If you bristle his bristles, he'll charge you. You know what I'm saying? He'll come after you. He takes no prisoner. But he's really, when it comes to, once this settles down, and things start to really get into a stream of things, and the election starts to go forward, I think you're going to see a different Donald Trump. Of course, he's going to go out of his way to totally attack Hillary. You know, that's what he has to do. That's the game.
You know, I've got to tell you, because people ask me, you know, people that know me in my private life, they knew that we grew up, you know, with Donnie and Ivanka and Eric in Greenwich, Connecticut. The Trumps were our neighbors there. And I have to tell you, Nikki, like, you know him as a certain side, like I know him as a side as well. When my father died, Mr. Trump was there for my mother. He was like, if you ever need help, if you ever need attorneys, I'm here for you. Everyone else, when all the wine stopped pouring and all the dinners were served, you know, everyone disappeared. My father's friends.
Okay.
But Mr. Trump was there, and Ivana too. They would always, you know, we would always include us, and we would include them when our gatherings. So the man that I know him to be, and this is just a very personal one-on-one relationship as a child and through my mother, was that he was there for my mother when my father died. So, you know, that's just a story that I have to share, a personal one.
Well, he was always there for me. I'll tell you that. He was a friend in need. I mean, I knew him in the 70s. When I was a stockbroker, we worked on a couple projects together. And actually, when I had when I started my television show, and of course Donald was the first person to ever interview Donald. If you go into Amazon Prime, you can see the interviews. But I mean, I covered the Trump Tower. That's why I have so many interviews with Donald. I mean, he was just amazing, and he's been a
Hunter,
great friend.
Yeah, I know, Hunter. What do you want to say about this whole thing?
Well, look, I get that he's not a one-dimensional character, and I get it that people have personal relationships with him and they like him as a person and he's done good things for people. I get all that. I don't think that he is qualified to be the president of the United States. I think he doesn't have the temperament to be president. I don't think he has the experience to be president. But I do get why people like him. I certainly do get it. I get not so much the personal level. Obviously, not everyone has the same story that Nikki and you have, Max. The average person sees him only on TV and sees his public persona.
I agree with you. You know, you don't vote for somebody because, you know, you did a television show with him. But I really believe that Donald does have the capacity to be the president of the United States. The thing that Donald will do, because he's smart enough to surround himself with the most important, influential people that can make these important decisions. But we live in a world now that's, and listen, let me tell you something. I went to the Clinton inauguration. I am very close, you know, emotionally to Hillary Clinton. And I think that she's an incredible person. I just think that at this particular point in time in history, we need a really tough guy, a guy that's going to go in there and knock him dead because we're getting pushed around. Look at that Iran deal we made. They're making terrible deals. The government's all, I mean, we live in a dream world. We live in this beautiful country, and everything seems to be perfect and rosy and everything, but we are just falling apart. You know, I think that Donald will really whip it together. I really have great confidence in him as a politician. I mean, he's not really a politician. He's a businessman. And right now in the world that we live in, we need a really powerful businessman.
Hunter, what do you think?
I think he's running a reality show contest. I don't think that it's a real political race. For him, it's about Donald Trump. For him, it's about winning. For him, it's about becoming president and achieving what he's seeking out to do. I don't think that he really cares all that much about being president. That's just my own perception. I think he cares about
winning.
Yeah,
but hold on, Hunter. But back in the day, Nikki, what did he tell you when you were interviewing Donald Trump? You knew back then.
He always wanted to be president. Always, always, always. And, you know, when he was married to Ivana, if it wasn't for the fact that that whole little glitch thing hadn't happened with Marla Maples, he would have run for president years ago. He always wanted to be president.
There's no doubt he wanted to. I mean, as a matter of fact, Nikki, I saw you one of the documentaries you were in with him. And what comes through to me is that he has been a narcissist since he was a kid. And he's always been like, you're the best, you're the best. And this is just a continuation of a lifetime of narcissism. I think of course he wanted to be president. He thought he could be president. Even when he had no skill set, he has no foreign policy experience. He has business experience. He has never served public office. He's never been elected dog catcher or ever had to serve in a public role. He doesn't really understand how government works, but he wants to be president of the United States. I don't doubt that he wants to be president, and I don't doubt that he's nice to people and that he has the capacity for being a human.
So let me
but I just
say,
don't
what,
think he's qualified
would,
to be president.
What would he have had to do, in your mind, to facilitate him being appropriate to be president? What would he have had to say?
I think for someone to be president of the United States, forget the temperament issue, which I think is, of course, something to be considered, but I'm not judging him on his temperament. I think that if he had done anything at all in his career that would demonstrate that he is committed to public service, that he's committed to being a public servant, working for the people, if he's ever done anything other than trying to make money, maybe that might mean something to me.
It's too late now. He's going to be, you know, he's running for president. So I guess.
But, you know, hold on. Let me break in here. Wait. Let me break in because, you know, I do a lot of events. I chair events at Mar-a-Lago, a lot in Palm Beach. And whenever we ask Mr. Trump, you know, would you underwrite the room? It's, you know, it's not a big fee. They underwrote the room. So, you know, he's very philanthropic. So for the people, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't see. That's, you know, the front page of the paper.
But that doesn't make you a politician.
Of course not. But it makes you philanthropic, which, you know, a lot of people don't think that there's that capacity to him, that he is a philanthropic person.
Don't get me wrong. I think that if he got the job, if he became president, could he do the job? Probably. Yeah. I mean, certainly. I don't know whether or not he'd be willing to commit the energy to it that it really takes. Cause I think it's an enormous job. It's not a show up for the camera type of a job. This is an enormous job. You can see what it look what Obama looks like 8 years after taking office. He looked like a young man when he started.
Look at poor Bill Clinton. He looks like a former shell of himself. I mean, it's a very taxing job. It's a 24/7 and job that, you know, you just and don't forget, we live in a much different society now. We're living in a terrorist oriented society. And, you know, you've got to watch every, you know, it's not like it used to be. It's not all honey and...
Well, they want you to feel that way, don't they?
That's where they sell
this stuff to us, because they have us scared to death of this terrorism, which really doesn't affect our lives at all.
But I think it does affect our lives a lot. I'm very close to Bill Bratton. You know, he's the police commissioner of New York. I mean, you have no idea what goes on a daily basis in the terrorist world. He's the head of terrorism. And I hear things that go on. I mean, every day they're foiling terrorist attacks in the United States, and we don't even hear about them. I mean, these are tough times.
And I think they're doing, and what they're doing obviously is working, because there were so few terrorist attacks. I think that the resources we're putting in are enough.
So far.
Yeah. You know, all right, well, listen, I've got to break in because we've got to start – speaking of selling, I got to sell some spots here. But here's the deal. I want to play a quick game, and Hunter, you're up first, then Nikki, I'm going to ask you, and I'll close out with you, Nikki. But Hunter Cross, okay. Hillary, who should her running mate be?
Ooh, Hillary Clinton. If I were Hillary Clinton, I would choose someone who had a fire in his or her belly, somebody who could...
Who would that be? Speak it out.
Cory Booker. That's my pick.
All right. And just for the sake of Bernie Sanders, who would he choose?
Oh, Bernie Sanders? Who would Bernie Sanders choose? You know what? If he chose somebody like Cory Booker, Cory Booker's my pick for vice president.
Because all right. I think that Donald Trump?
Could be president.
I think Kasich would be a good vice president.
You know,
oh,
God, no. I thought Condoleezza Rice.
Condoleezza Rice would be a good pick. She brings with her, or a military guy, somebody with some foreign policy experience.
I agree with that.
I think he needs it.
Colin Powell, he'll never do it, though.
Never.
Yeah, Colin Powell would be great. I don't think he'd do it, though.
Well, listen, you guys, it's been so much fun. Nikki Haskell Show on Amazon Prime. You can catch it there. Hunter X Cross on Twitter. Nikki's on Twitter. She's on Instagram. She's on Facebook. Catch her. You'll love her as much as I do, and you can always watch her videos on Facebook. She goes live often. Nikki Haskell, thank you so much for being here tonight on Mother's Day.
Thanks, guys.
Love you, too.
Big kiss.
Hunter Cross, have a great night. We're going to talk to you later and have you back on the show. Right now.
Bye, Nikki.
On Max and Friends, Thomas Hibner, That You Mean So Much to Me, one of my songs that I love, and I think a lot of you love. So we dedicate this to all the mothers out there. And when we're back, Joanne Marks is here. The book, Facelifts, Money, and Prince Charming, Break Baby Boomer Myths and Live Your Best Life. And we're going to talk about forgiving your mother on Mother's Day on Max and Friends. But right now, That You Mean So Much to Me. Hit it.
Walking around trying to figure it out, a missing part that's lost inside of me. Every once in a while there would be some teardrops hitting the ground wherever I go. It's not easy for me to let you go, even though I pretend it didn't bother me. Can't stop thinking about you, that you mean so much to me. Knowing we were close, having so much to say about you. Watching you walk away without saying anything towards something that could have been different right now. All I was trying to do was to show my love to you. Knowing that you mean so much to me. Every day, wherever I go, the pain of losing you made me think about you even more. I can't stop thinking about you, that you mean so much to me. Knowing we were close, having so much to say about you. Watching you walk away without saying anything towards something that could have been different right now. All I was trying to do was to show my love to you, waiting for your blessing, knowing that you mean so much to me. It's hard to live my life, you were not by my side. Where I regret something, what I should have told you. It's not easy for me to let you go, but one day my heart will let you go. With the pain of losing you, I will hide my broken heart. That you mean so much to me.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. That was Thomas Hibner, the song That You Mean So Much to Me. I think that's what mothers mean to all of us, even though sometimes we can't express it. But my next guest is author. There's so many wonderful things to say about my next guest. A leading authority on breaking baby boomer myths. Say that 10 times fast. Joni is on a mission to revolutionize the way all generations perceive aging and happiness. As a best-selling author, sought-after speaker, and acclaimed Hollywood actress, her one-of-a-kind style for showing how baby boomers and the generations that follow can live their best lives opens the doors to a new way of loving the life we have. You know I'm one person that loves the life I have, and I hope you are too. And if you're tuning in to Max and Friends tonight for the first time, follow me on Twitter at Max Tucci and welcome my next guest right now, Joni Marks, to Max and Friends. How are you?
I am excellent, and thank you for such a kind introduction.
It's my pleasure.
And the name of the book itself is Facelifts, Money, and Prince Charming.
And then the follow-up, there's so much in that title alone, isn't there?
I know, but the thing of it is that the Facelifts, Money, and Prince Charming is what older people sometimes think is required for them to stay active in life. Mm. This book came about because I was having lunch with my sorority sister who was recently widowed. So I said to her, what's happening? Are you meeting some new people? How are you putting your new life together? And she said to me, what life? She said, I haven't had a facelift. I don't have any money. So therefore, there's going to be no Prince Charming in my future.
Isn't that sad?
This is my sorority sister. I looked up to her. I walked out away from that lunch and I said, no, this is not okay. This will not do whatsoever. So that's how the title got to be Facelifts, Money, and Prince Charming.
Prince Charming.
And then it's breaking these baby boomer myths so that you can understand and realize that what you have now is the best your life is going to be. And the reason
Absolutely.
It's best, right, Max, is because it's the now. You can
it
only live
now.
In now.
And that's all we have. But let me ask you a question. When was it that you decided you were going to live your best life?
I would say it was about 2013 when I was on a cruise and I broke both bones in my leg and in the freakish little sliding off a threshold.
Mm.
And so therefore it took me maybe about, and I'd never had surgery in my life before. So it took me a good part from Christmas all the way through to April where I was pretty much laying on my back. Could not put that foot down on the ground. So that gave me a lot of time to think.
Mm-hmm. The option to be still and know.
Yes, and I had to be still. And I was good about it. I said to myself, there is no point being upset that I had this horrible accident. I just have to lay here quietly and heal.
Mm.
And so that's kind of in the midst of all that, I was given forcibly this space to think about my life and also about what my sorority sister said to me and put together, some of the problems that older actresses have in Hollywood. I'm certainly not the only one. But, you feel sometimes like you're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. These roles are not coming along. Or they want to know, can you be more feeble? Why do we have to be feeble? I'm sure your mother isn't feeble, that you're writing a cookbook with her. I mean, she's not a feeble person.
Not at all. But, I think it's also generation, too, because, my mother was born in Lithuania, escaped the war, lived in a DP camp. People who know me know her story. And I think also that the generation of women that were that time of my mother's age, they are like – they are no holds barred. They want to succeed. They have passion. They have desire. It's like they know how to live life really to the fullest because they've experienced so much. This generation now, I see my niece. She's 14 years old. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's so scary to see how this generation is being brought up. And it's just by circumstance almost. So, but that brings me into a question that we have for tonight's show, which is really important, which is forgiving your mother on Mother's Day. And I want to talk to you about that, Joni, because I know a lot of people are suffering in life because my mom, even at the beginning of the show, she said she wishes her mother would forgive her for not being there when my grandmother passed away. And I'm thinking, how many opportunities do we have to still tell parents, our mothers, especially for Mother's Day, that we still love them? And if we're in a feud with them, how do we forgive them? So what is the number one tip for showing your mother love and gratitude on Mother's Day that you think, Joni Marks?
What I think is that you have to first understand what your grudges are against your mother. Because you can't sugarcoat it and be all love and light if in your heart you have a grudge. And I think the grudges that you end up in adulthood that are so poignant are the things that your mother did to you when you were a child. Maybe it was a sense of you felt abandoned or you felt competitive with your mother. So you have to come to terms with who she is, that she is not, like I like to say, omnipotent and omniscient, meaning, you know, all-knowing and all-powerful. And as a child, she was. So basically, though, if you survived, and you did, because here we are talking and all the people that are listening are surviving. So at the lowest end, your mother was able to give you enough sustenance that you survived. So you got survival skills. And on the great end, there are some great mothers. But I think basically we are all loving but flawed people. So you, as the child, as now the adult child, have to come to grips with what your grievance is with your mother. And if she is alive, my number one tip is that you have this opportunity to really have a dialogue with her. And you need to start out and say, this is how I feel. You did this, you did this, you did that. This is how I feel.
Yeah.
And see if you can get that going between the two of you.
You know, it's interesting to say that because I also believe, you know, this is a hard conversation. And I think that a lot of people, you know, they just go into hard conversations expecting that the other person is ready to receive the hard conversation. So I would say too, you know, before you jump into this, tell the person, your mother, if this is who we're talking about tonight, we're talking about your mothers, and if you have a grudge with them, how to get forgiveness and just be in harmony and on one accord. You know, let people know that you want to have a hard conversation. Would you agree with that, Joni?
Oh, I definitely would agree with that. And you might start out with a little note, a handwritten note, mm-hmm. saying, you know, Mother, I would like to talk to you about some of these things. I would like us to have a better relationship. We only have this now together. And can we sit down and talk?
Absolutely. Well, my guest tonight is Joni Marks, the book, Facelifts, Money, and Prince Charming. You also hold a degree in psychology. So
yes,
for those who are tweeting and they're asking, this is how we know what we're talking about because you're also a psychologist. But, you know, it's interesting because we have these relationships with our mothers and, you know, we don't know how long they're going to be. And so for me, I tell people, you know, listen, everyone does the best they know how to do. So you can't blame people for doing what they think is the best. So I do agree, you know, have a conversation, get the conversation going, because when you do, there's this great feeling, and I want you to tell us about that feeling, about what does it look and feel like to be best friends with your mother, Joni Marks?
Well, I was. My mother isn't alive now. And there were years of strife and hard feelings, and they ended up being resolved. And I did that by one day being grown up enough to say, this is how I feel, and I'm not accepting how I've been viewed, which is talking about these baby boomer myths which put us in a box about how we are viewed. There is a fabulous quote by Einstein who says, we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. So therefore, we have to think about our mothers differently and hope that they will think about us differently. Now, I have a little thought here. There are some people who who can't fathom exactly why they're upset with their mother. You know, it's there, but it isn't, it isn't a real crystal clear what happened. So my suggestion, and I do this in some of my talks, is I help people in on a guided imagery, but that basically you can do this yourself when we're off the phone. The audience can. Is you think about your childhood room, and you get real quiet, and you kind of visually see all the things in your room, and then you put your hand out. And in your palm will come an object from your childhood. And when you feel that object in your hand, you ask it what it wants to tell you. And that will be the answer to the basic question of what hurts and where the pain is in your soul.
That's beautiful. You know, it is that imagery of going back into time and just focusing on, you know, that. I like to say we're free from the past, but if we're caught up in it, sometimes we can't move in the present. So, but you know, there's these relationships that people have with their mothers that are just like this roller coaster of emotion. One day they're happy, the next they're pissed off at each other, and it's just like this vicious circle. So what you're suggesting is doing is being in that quiet space and bringing your mind back to your childhood room. And just being there in that moment as a child. And would you call that intuition guiding you?
Yes, because it's your true essence. Because basically, the things that affect us the most are things from our childhood. Because we're not able to discern, well, my mother was upset today and this happened, so therefore she yelled at me. We just take that in, and in a place in our soul, we don't analyze it. It just exists as this horrible negative. My mother doesn't love me. My mother doesn't think I'm pretty. My mother doesn't think I'm smart. You know, all of these things have come into us from snippet of experiences we've had with our mother. And she might have a long time forgotten it.
Of course. Such a glitch in time, right? And we hold on to it.
Yes, we do. So we need to...
to purge ourselves.
Yes. And so that we can be in... so that we have an opportunity to look at our parents as an adult now and say, you know, they're flawed, we're flawed. No, nobody's perfect. So let's take the best of this.
Yeah.
And besides, who else is closer to you? There isn't anyone in this world closer to you. Because just think, you were in the womb and you were listening to your mother from the inside out.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I want you to tell right now pregnant women who are pregnant right now with their children the vibration and the energy they should be putting into that womb. Because a lot of people think that, you know, babies, oh, they just come out. But there's, to me, I think there's such a harmony when there's such a peace during your pregnancy. So what advice do you give pregnant women who to tell their baby in the womb?
That you're healthy, that you're going to have a wonderful life, that you are going to come out into a world of people who want you, who want to take care of you, who want to nurture you, to want to educate you, to want to show you the beauties that exist in this world.
And there are so many of them. There are so many of them. It's consciously creating your child's future. But listen, I want to talk to you about these 7 baby boomer myths and how we break them no matter your age. Here's the thing, though. We don't have much time because of this glitch that we had earlier on in the system. So we'll talk about a couple. I'm going to have you back on the show for sure, because I think we're going to have a great synergy going and a great frequency together. So what are some of the baby boomer myths, and how can we break them no matter the age? Give us the top 3.
All right. I think the top one is the myth of scarcity. This world is set up to think that there is not enough of what we need. And so everybody is competing for a diminishing supply. So we don't have enough of what we want. We don't have enough love. We don't have enough opportunities. We don't have enough, but we do.
There's an abundance of everything. There is an abundance.
Yes. And so I think that's one of the ones.
So how do we break that? How do we break that concept, that pathology, that that point where we are? How do we break that?
You consciously have to understand what these myths are, that, and that's part of what's in my book, what all these myths were. Okay, the example being that we were, and this goes back to our grandparents. This would be your grandparents, your parents, and your generation. It started out in America like with Norman Rockwell. And he started painting the covers to the Saturday Evening Review in about 1932 or 1933, and he did 323 of them. And so he set up what American middle-class life should look like. And so everybody got jammed into that mold.
You know what I like to say about Norman Rockwell? He painted a picture that a lot of people didn't have a frame to put it in.
That is fabulous. But you know what? But it is that. But the trouble is they did. And so they're constantly putting themselves against that. You know, I don't have this. I don't have that.
Isn't that funny? And, you know, today I was listening. I was watching a friend to the show, Valerie Love, and she was saying, there's abundance everywhere. Even if you don't feel loved, you're abundantly not feeling loved. Right?
And
she's like, I want strawberries. And I can go to the supermarket. There's an abundance of strawberries. Mother Nature keeps giving us strawberries in abundance. So we just have to call it sometimes, right?
Yes, and what we need to understand that there is abundance because it's within us. And so this search for Prince Charming, which was certainly, you know, this whole thing about faceless money and, you know, Prince Charming, he'll come and save you. Well, the point of this book is that you are your own Prince Charming. So you have to save yourself.
Yeah.
And you have to love yourself enough. Therefore, you can go out and you have things to give to other people.
There's a reaction, right? You give love, you receive love.
Yeah, so if you have nothing to give and you go, oh, I got to meet this guy. He's going to be so wonderful. He's going to love me so much. He's going to give me this. He's going to do this and blah, blah, blah. Well, if you don't have anything to give to him, why would he be interested in you? So you have to be what you are seeking. How's that for simple?
I love the simplicity. And you know what I said? Again, today I heard, I am everything. I have everything. And
yes,
I think we need to believe that.
Yes, I have a variation of this. I thought when I get old someday, I'm going to put it on my tombstone. But in the present tense, it is, I am enough. I do enough. I have enough.
I love that.
Because, you know, as an actor, you're constantly going to auditions and being rejected for things that you can't do anything about, you know? And so this whole thing is you have to really say, you know, I am enough, therefore I don't need to overact. I don't need to over-try.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to play a quick word game because we got to wrap this up. But I'm going to say a word and I want you to give me what it means to you, okay?
Oh, this is a good game. Okay.
All right, so we'll start with the title of your book, Facelifts. What does that mean to you?
It means accept yourself for who you are. You don't need to change yourself.
Money.
That's a nice thing. I think money is good if you can gives you things to use, and I think it's important.
Prince Charming.
You need to be it for yourself.
Baby boomers.
We are alive. We are here. This is our time. This is our voice. And this is our story. And we're not walking off the stage.
Forgiveness.
I didn't.
And what does the word forgiveness mean to you?
Being human. Being loving. The way of the world. This is how the world works. You need to love and you need to forgive.
And what is the word
for you?
What does the word love mean to you?
Sunlight.
Oh, and you know, I sat in it today. It was so beautiful. I love the sunlight. Joni Marks, I'm so happy you were able to join me here on Max and Friends tonight and all the listeners tuning in. But you know what? We've got to wrap this show up. in the meantime, I would love for you to come back. So I have your contact. I'm going to be in touch with you after the show, and we're going to plan on having you back because I know that you've got a great story to tell us besides your fabulous book, Facelifts, Money, and Prince Charming, where you can go right now to Amazon because it is a number one bestseller there. So y'all got to go get it, and you can read it. It's almost summertime, so get that book, and it's a great read. And Joni Marks, before I let you go, what advice do you have for people this week to live life really to the fullest? What do you tell them?
Appreciate the fact that you're alive. Wake up and say, good gracious, how wonderful is this? I'm alive.
I'm alive. And what I tell everyone is no experience is ever wasted. Everything has meaning. Take life to the max. I love you all for tuning in. Thank you, Hunter Cross. Thank you, Nikki Haskell. And thank you so much, Joni Marks, for joining me tonight on Max and Friends. Again, the book is Facelifts, Money, and Prince Charming. And to get more of Nikki Haskell's shows, go to Amazon Prime. And to get Joni's book, you just go right to Amazon there too. So, good night, good karma, take life to the max. I'm your host, Max Tucci, from Max and Friends. I love you all for listening. Follow me on Twitter, at Max Tucci. Peace out, y'all. Thank you, Joni.
Max and Friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back.